Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Terry and I spoke last week on marriage. If you weren't here, I suggest you get that CD or listen online. You can catch it online. We're moving on to Colossians chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 20 through 25. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that you open it to us. Help me take my words. May not one word I speak fall to the ground. Give me the spirit of Samuel in that. Father, I thank you for your word that is like a two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a seeker and a finder of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We ask blessings upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of the verses today is obedience. This is a word that has been redefined by society and a large part of the church. Obedience now is more smorgasbord than it is demanding. We take and obey one thing and we choose to not obey another. How many know that's our society right now? Everybody's quiet, but you know what I'm talking about. And the church shouldn't reflect society, but we are reflecting society. Because in the church, obedience means, well, I'll take that and I'll leave that. That has to change. Personally, in our own lives, we have to commit to obeying what the Word of God says. So how many know once the Word of God says it, and you know it says it, and you know what it means when it says it, what's God require? Obedience. Not a question mark. God, I'm still not sure if I want to obey that. You have heard me say that when we hear God clearly, action is required. Paul addresses obedience to parents, masters, and finally to the Lord. So obedience, instant obedience, is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws themselves from grace. Thomas A. Kempis said that. Let me repeat that. Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. That's a strong statement. So what does it mean to obey anyhow? To obey means to listen, give heed to consent and agree. Now, consent with an attitude doesn't mean that you've come into obedience. Our obedience is saying, God, you're right, and I'm happy to follow what you told me to do. We don't gnash our teeth and be unhappy with God, because that's disobedience in our heart. We're just going through an action. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel speaking, he says, has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and the heed than the fat of rams. God looks very highly at instant obedience. The choice was made, my friend, at the time of your salvation. He is Lord of all. Anything less than obedience is sin. When you said, Jesus, come in, whether you knew it or not, you were saying, God, you're king and you're the boss and I'm obeying you the rest of my existence. Some scriptures to as if it needed to prop that up. John chapter 15, 14, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 13, 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Knowing is one thing, doing is another. Come on, someone. John 14, 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." What are we talking about? We're in Colossians. Paul is directing himself to the members of the family. Last week we spoke about husband and wife. Then he talks about children. Then he talks about bondservants. And finally, obeying everything that we do as unto the Lord. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Following God is not a burdensome thing. We just obey and the blessings come. Knowing that obedience is required makes the choices easy. "Your kingdom come," Jesus said. "Your will be done." This is no democracy or republic. We have to remind ourselves all the time. I have to remind myself. I didn't vote Jesus in as president. His term isn't up in 2 years. He's king. I have no say in his will. His will is my will if I'm his child. Come on, someone. This is a kingdom with a king, and it's clear and precise. Much has been said about freedom. It's in every corner of our society, freedom is. Freedom from does not mean freedom to. What do I mean by that? Freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from all those things doesn't mean freedom to do whatever I want to do. You're going to serve somebody. Everybody serves somebody because why? We're human beings. None of us are God. Not that I know of anyhow. If anybody's made it to Godhood, please see me afterwards. We're human. And so we're going to serve something or someone. Whether we know or not, everybody serves somebody. Obey. Children, obey your parents. Parents don't, or fathers don't provoke your children. It's to be obedient to the Lord to raise our children. It says, "Children, obey your parents." Obedience of children strengthens or weakens a society. The Great Rebellion of the 60s has brought us almost 60 years later where we're at. You remember the 60s. How many are old enough to remember the 60s? Not you, John. Don't raise your hand. You don't remember that. But it was a real tumultuous time, and those people are now in charge. And we have what we have. Come on, someone. We have what we have. It's a mess. We need to pray. Continue to pray for families. Pray for the children coming up. To have children, have just a mom and a dad, is tremendously a miracle. A large amount of children are raised in single family homes. 26 out of the last 27 mass shootings were men without fathers. 26 out of the last 27 mass shootings, live active shooters, had no father at home. This is serious business. It's just a matter of, well, if you're a single parent, you can do it. You're single. We need to pray for single parents. God designed the family to have dad raise the kids. Come on. And mom. Very important, mom. But dad's got to take his responsibility. Notice what the word says. "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Provoking is more than what we do than what we don't do. Or, I'm sorry, more than what we don't do than what we do. Children absolutely need dad's input. Absolutely need to be led by dad. My children aren't perfect, but every night that I was home, I tucked my kids into bed till they were teenagers. Come on, somebody. They always used to make me tell stories. Back at that time, I'd just tell wild stories. It was always Bible-based, but I always tell wild stories. Dad, can you tell us a story? Come on, someone. We homeschooled our kids until they were in middle school, and I taught some classes. My wife did the lion's share because somebody had to work outside the home, but so it's a good word. Then it goes on to say, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Bondservant is one that has chosen to be a servant. Bondservant wasn't owned. A bondservant chose to stay with their master. If they once were a slave, they became a bondservant. There was a big ceremony. The servant was taken to the front of the house, their ear was stuck against a post and an awl was driven through it and an earring was put in. So if you saw a person that wore an earring, that means they were a bond slave, for those of you who know people that wear earrings today. We don't have those today in our culture, of course, but I'm about to either make you very happy or very mad. If you work for someone else, you are a voluntary bond servant. You produce, move, assemble things that make the business run. Come on, somebody. The standard for working has changed considerably. The trend now is to work wherever you want as long as you log the hours. I just read an article about work now being professionals are now allowed to work from wherever they want to work as long as they have a laptop and they're connected with the company. They can stay in bed and work all day if they want. You're no longer required to come into the office. Come on, someone. My daughter works for U.S. Foods, and she visited the Chicago office building, and they have one floor where most of the secretaries and things work, and it's all set up like a home. Living room, dining room, kitchen, huge layout. Couches everywhere. Nobody has any desks. And you just kind of lounge around all day. Get your work done, but come on, someone. It is a work environment that caters to the employee rather than the employer. Unions are no longer needed because the master has become the slave in many instances. Come on, somebody. How many remember just a couple of weeks ago Nike came out with a shoe, Betsy Ross shoe. How many read about that? And so it was the original flag on the shoe, 13 colonies. And somebody raised a lot of rabble. I think it was Kaepernick that said the loudest. And so Nike took it off the market. Do you know what that cost that company? Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. The employee now runs the employer. Bond servants, obey your masters in the flesh. We work for somebody. We had pride in what we work for, the company we work for. Come on, someone. Now there's all kinds of jealousy. You're not allowed to make that kind of money. Never made any sense to me. I don't care how much money somebody makes. They've got to buy stuff so they generate wealth for the society. Come on, someone. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it doesn't make sense to me to poke fun at people that can make money and make work. So the Word of God was very wise when it said, bond servants, obey your masters in the flesh. Here's a couple questions for you. Do you give your best at work? I'm not looking for a raise of hand. Do you do your best when you work? And do you serve others at work? Here's what Jesus said. Mark 9:35, and he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Let's watch this film clip. Pretty simple. Be the last, be the servant. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. The world knows no such sacrifice. It's left up to you and I to show the world what true love is. Arlen Williams unknowingly set the bar really high for servanthood. Sure, that wasn't his intent to teach everybody while the cameras was on him. He just had a heart to help others. Probably didn't know he was going to die. Obedience, to heed and to do all things, nothing refused except that which goes against Scripture. When we work for somebody, when we work for companies or someone else, we follow their commands, except when they break our faith, of course. Back in the late 90s, I worked for timeshare. I sold timeshare. When I tell people that, they look at me like I'm a devil or something. Timeshare's got a bad name now. But back in the day, it was the thing to do. And so when I worked for the company, I was associate pastor at a church, and I had to work Sundays. So I said, is there any way I cannot work on Sundays? They said, yeah, you cannot work on Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. You're fired if you don't want to work on Sundays. So I had to be there on Sunday and open up and do tours at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. So I prayed. I said, God, I've got to, you know, I have to work for my family. And so I said, God, you got to bless me. So I became the number one salesman on the track. And I asked for 3 hours off on Sunday, and they gave me the 3 hours off to go to church. Just make sure and be here at 12:30, they'd say. Come on, someone. How many know that's a favor of God? So I became the number one salesman on the track, and others got mad at me because I got to go to church, but what can I tell you? And most recently, when I was in North Carolina before I came up here, I worked for a place called Red Ventures, and I sold ADT security online. And it was warm phone calls and return calls to people that were interested. And so as I became familiar with the pitch, as they say, I became very good. I became one of the top salesmen on the telephone. But I realized the more I sold was they'll tell you that what they give away free will cover your home, no matter what square footage you have. Well, that's not true. It's a lie. If you have anything over 1,200 square feet, you're going to have problems with what they give you. You have to add to it, and it's going to cost you some money. And so I could either have went on obeying them and going against what I knew to be true. And so I begin to tell people, look, it's not going to work for your house. You got a 2,000 square foot home, it's going to cost you this. Well, they're monitoring phone calls, and they tagged me each time. You got five times, and you're out. So I had four times, and I was being interviewed for a management position. I went in for the interview, and they hit me with the fourth time and thinking about the fifth time. And so I said, just consider this an exit interview instead of a management interview. I said, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Now, that may seem trivial to you, but I was making good money. I walked away from a good paying job. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying I gave my best until it went against. Obedience is giving your best until it goes against your convictions of the Word of God. Amen? And if you're in that position, run. Get out. God will take care of you. So we need conduct becoming of a Christian. Conduct becoming of a Christian. Verse 23, look at it. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And how do you practically do that? We serve others. We serve our employers. We serve people. Come on, someone. Very difficult to do sometimes. Seems like God will put you with people that you absolutely couldn't get along with if you tried. If you lived to be 500 years old, they just rub you the wrong way. How many knows people like that? Come on, raise your hand. Man, you mean I got to put up with that person? I can't stand them. I'll put up with them as long as they shut up. Don't say anything to me. Come on, is that real? Is that where we're at? But we may be the only Lord the person ever knows. We love them. Whatever you do. Now that word, I looked up whatever you do. What do you think it means in the Greek? Whatever you do. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And that makes the job a lot easier when we say, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for your kingdom. Because no matter how irritating people can be, they deserve eternal life. Come on, someone. God, just save them just as long as you put them over on the north end of heaven and me on the south end of heaven. Come on, somebody. But get them to heaven. Whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord. Most of us are not too involved with the things of the world. The church holds some importance. Most of us are not involved enough with the world. Need to be involved. Go to public meetings. Join a club. Get yourself out in the community. Come on, someone. Quiet. Your membership in New Life says that you're in agreement with our doctrine, and our doctrine says we don't only reach up and reach out, but we reach out. We believe that God wants to save souls. It's hard for me to say get with it because I eat and drink and sleep this job. That's what I'm supposed to do all the time. But I'm asking you, we ask little of you, please consider your choices and stir up the gifts that are in you so that we can get the work of the kingdom done. The more obedient we are and the more active we are in saving souls, the quicker Jesus is going to come back and set this whole thing up the way he wants it. Come on, someone. I can't wait to relinquish all the reins over to Jesus. Jesus established his throne in Jerusalem and runs the world, that's going to be something to see. That is going to be something to see. But until then, he trusts us. Yes, Danny. Amen. Amen. I have had more changes in my own heart, my life, my wife and I, in this last 3 or 4 months than our previous 38 years of serving the Lord. Just some tremendous things happening. There's a shifting going on in the body of Christ. There's a recognition of the fivefold ministry. We're recognizing the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the teacher, the pastor. Things are coming together. Churches are changing. Whole areas are under tremendous change. I just got an invite to what's called a dialogue, only people invitation meeting with 80 leaders to talk about the tremendous change right now that's happening worldwide, but mostly here in the United States. Come on, someone. People are recognizing it. We've got to be on the ready line. We've left it up to just a few people to get the job done, and it's not gotten done. God's able to work through few or through many. It's not God. It's our disagreement and our fighting and pointing fingers at one another. We've got to come together and allow God to use our gifts. Why do we do these things? Because it's okay to expect a reward. Listen to what verse 24 says. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Why are we doing all this? For the reward, for the crown. Come on, someone. It's okay to want a reward. The Bible says we'll be rewarded. I'm looking for the reward when I get there. Here I is. Where's my reward? Come on, someone. And what is the inheritance? Eternal life. Eternal inheritance. Let's look at some scriptures very quickly. Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, I think it'll be up on the screen. But Hebrews 9:15 says this, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now, sadly, we have an eternal inheritance right now that very few people are walking in. How many know? You have power over the devil. Turn to somebody and say, you have power over the devil. We give the devil way too much credit. Devil does not have anything in me. He may have things in people, but he doesn't have anything in me. Come on, someone. And to the extent that he does, I've allowed that. I'm going to stop allowing that. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him, Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You and I have obtained an inheritance. Verse 14 says, Ephesians 1:14, he is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Holy Spirit living in me guarantees that I'm a recipient of everything that God has. I drive that home all the time. I understand calling somebody with an authoritative name. I understand that we get scared. There's nothing wrong with calling the pastor if you want prayer. But realize you have the same power as anyone with a title. If you're a Christian, you've got Holy Spirit living in you. Take authority. Yes, come into agreement. When we're under attack, we want two or three standing with us. I get that. But man, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you are under attack, which many of us have experienced, take authority. You have the authority in Jesus' name. Verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's you. You either a saint or an ain't. Come on, someone. You're either a saint or an ain't. If you're a saint, you got all of heaven behind you. All of heaven is at your disposal. Come on, somebody. That's a pretty good storehouse.
We don't have that today. We're waiting for delivery. Please call back in another time.
All of heaven backs you as an inheritor of the graces and the blessings of the Lord. Come on, somebody, get excited. When you speak, it's like heaven speaking. Demons tremble when you speak. Not this namby-pamby, God, if you have time, could you please get me out of this mess? No, in Jesus' name, I take authority. The purchased possession is the inheritance from God. And we don't only expect it, we demand it in Jesus' name. The only one that's holding it back is the devil. God's not holding it back. He doesn't get any glory for that. Oh, pray harder. Come on, do something. Stand on your head. Go. No, God says, you ask, and if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. We have an inheritance. Why do we obey? Why do we live? Why do we do this? Why do we teach our children? Why do we walk as Christians? All for the sake of the inheritance. I know we want things while we're here, but that's like wanting to be the wealthiest person in the world for just 1 second. Oh, make me rich just for 1 second, a whole lifetime. Listen, we only live our life as a vapor. We live eternal with God, eternal inheritance. Just think of it. No needs, no shortages, no trouble, no time. Man, it's coming. It's ours. It's our promise. The promised possession is eternal inheritance, eternal life. When we breathe our last, we step into the glory realm where we'll know Him even as we are known. Come on, can you imagine? Woo-wee! Man, just to see Jesus. I made a deal. When I die and my eyes open to Jesus, right there. Right there. That's the first thing I want to see. I don't want to see flowers. Or people talk about seeing golden things and, you know, golden rain and things and birds and butterflies. I don't want to see any of that. I want to see Jesus. Come on, somebody. The eternal inheritance is promised us. When does that begin? Right now. You could choose right now to never look at the world the same. I guarantee your whole attitude will change. All of a sudden your spouse will get prettier. The house will smell better. You choose to look through the eyes of God that He gave you. That's your inheritance. You choose to hear what God hears. That's your inheritance. You choose to walk in the power. That's your inheritance. When you speak, things change. That's your inheritance. Your whole life changes. You could choose to do that right now. There's a law of reaping and sowing. The deception is because we are not reaping yet. We don't need to worry about it. Watch what verse 25 says. Kind of a negative, but it just gives us a little boundary, which is neat because we need boundaries. We're free, but we're not free to do whatever we want to do. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Come on, someone. You can't go elbow God when you get there and say, hey, God, it was you and me. Or, you know, when we do something wrong, we expect blessing. God, you know, it's just me. I can get the blessing anyway. Nope. You'll be repaid for what you have done. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, kind of a rough part of Scripture, but it turns out good. It says, do not be deceived in verse 7. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. That's a strong word. God is not mocked. We think we can fool God. How many have ever thought in your wildest dreams you could fool God? Every hand better go up. We think we can get away with it while God's not looking. Raise your hand. Come on. God's always looking. You ain't getting away with nothing. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Now that word is not just for the sweet by and by. The everlasting life is now. Eternal life is now. I'm living in eternity. I'm living in another dimension. And when I choose to live my own life, I step out of that dimension into the world and I get pummeled. How many have ever been pummeled? God, please forgive me. And we're right back in that spiritual realm. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Man, there are things I'm believing God for. God said, just hang in there. Coming. Therefore, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's a great memory bank held in heaven for us. Heaven does not forget your obedience. It does not forget what you do right, even if nobody else does. Have you ever felt like sometimes just take an article out in Rochester Sentinel saying, you know, all in all, I'm a good person. Here's what I've done. Come on, someone. Heaven remembers all of that. And you're going to reap what you've sown. Choice can be made today. God reinstates, He renews, and He recalibrates. He is faithful. If you will be honest with Him, He'll be honest with you. Priorities need reset. That's all. We need to readjust who we're living for. Do we want a temporary calm, or do we want eternal inheritance? Come on, someone. Maybe rough waters ahead, but it's going to be okay. Unless you're living on another planet, you realize all the cameras that are on the Christians right now. We talked about this in men's fellowship yesterday. Christians are being Christian and white nationalists are the same. Christians and nationalists, people that believe only in our country, only in middle-class white folks. Come on, somebody. Picketing members of Congress, bishops, pastors, Christians are picketing homes of Congress saying you're not Christian if you're a nationalist. It's happening. We thought it would maybe be 10 years down the road. It's happening. Things could change very quickly in just a year or two. We have to know who we serve. We have to know who we serve. We've got to pull out our gifts and use the gifts because it's going to get rough, but it's going to be the greatest time the church has ever seen. Greatest time. God didn't promise us a rose garden, but He promised us eternal life. I'd like to have both, wouldn't you? God could have a rose garden and eternal life. That'd be really neat. After all, you said I could have whatever I ask in your name. That's not in His name. It's not in His name. It's in Rick's name. Father has the grace for us. Father has the grace for us through His Holy Spirit. And He asks us to obey and have conduct becoming of a Christian. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, it's digging into our very existence. God, it's challenging us and pulling us in directions we may not be too excited to go, but You're asking us, God, to fulfill Your call in this generation to be Christians that can be counted on. God, when people look, they say, that's somebody that's serving Christ. They're servant of all. Help us to be that way, God, in everything. Lord, we need Your assistance. Holy Spirit, we need You now more than ever. Would You fill us with Your power? Remind us of our calling. Lord, we won't forget to give You the glory and the honor and the praise that's due Your name. Father, thank You for all that You supplied for us. We don't deserve a bit of it, God, but You gave it to us. Thank You for Your grace, mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.